Well, we are here to celebrate our risen King. The tragedy and torture of Friday quickly turned to hope and victory on Sunday. And so today we're here to celebrate. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to get some people to celebrate. My wife Carol, her birthday is tomorrow. And so this weekend, we have been celebrating her birthday. And so we like to celebrate things. Some of you are sports fans, whatever team you may follow, you celebrate those victories with those tailgates and those parties. There's celebration in the air. And so there's a lot of things that we would celebrate. My kids are fixing to, two of my kids fixing to graduate from high school, so we're going to celebrate graduation, celebration. There's things that we celebrate, but this morning, our celebration is the celebration of the risen King, that our Savior who died on the cross for our sins was raised again on that third day, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And so I hope it's okay with you, but this morning we're going to celebrate Jesus because it's in his name that we have gathered, and it's in his name that our hope lies. And so today we're going to celebrate, and we're going to look at some reasons to celebrate. And so I hope you have your message notes available. And we're going to look at some reasons that we have gathered to celebrate. And we're going to read from John chapter 20, the story of Mary Magdalene going to the empty tomb. And then we are going to see in that account of Jesus' resurrection some reasons we have to celebrate. And so if you found your place, it's John chapter 20. We'll be starting at verse 1, and I would ask you to stand once you find your place, John 20, verse 1, in honor of the reading of God's Word. John 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started to the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He was bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still laying there in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Listen to that again. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to be raised from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. May God richly bless his word as we look at it today. Father, we want to thank you for your love for us. Father, thank you for the victory that you had in Jesus and the victory that we can share in. And Father, as we look into your word, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Father, help us to truly celebrate the reason for Easter, the resurrected Savior who we have gathered in his name. So, Father, we thank you, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We are celebrating the Jesus that is alive today, and one of the reasons that we have to celebrate is that we celebrate Jesus' surprise at Easter. Listen, it was a complete surprise to these early disciples when they get to the tomb and it's empty. It was a surprise that Jesus was not still there. They were going with spices and incense and smelly things to anoint Jesus' dead body. But when they get there, they're completely surprised that he's not there. And you can tell in this passage of Scripture, in the story that I read earlier, that it starts all of this activity. They're running back and forth. They're telling each other, he's not there. Where did he go? Peter and John race to the tomb, and he's not there. You see, it was a surprise. They didn't, and even though Jesus had told them that he would be raised on the third day, they were going to pay their respects. They weren't going to worship their king. And isn't it great when God breaks through and does the remarkable like he did in this passage of Scripture? Sometimes what we expect is so far less than what God wants for us in our life. They wanted to pay their respects, but instead they found a risen Savior, that Jesus had conquered death, hell, and the grave. And so Jesus had a great surprise for them, and that empty tomb is the reason that we can celebrate today. It's the reason that we have hope today, because Jesus was not there. That tomb was empty. And I think John, and it's John's gospel that we read, John was kind of proud of himself. He was the younger and faster of the two disciples, him and Peter, running to the tomb. And I think he was very proud of the fact that he got to the tomb before Peter did. Right? He gets there faster and he says, you know, the disciple that Jesus loved, and he's too humble to name himself, but at the same time, he wants everyone to know that he was the one that Jesus really loved, and he got to the tomb first, and he mentions that even twice in this passage. And so Mary's there, the tomb is empty. Peter and John, they come back, the tomb is empty. And that's a reason that we have to celebrate this morning. And aren't you glad that we can celebrate our risen Savior? We don't follow someone that's dead and in the tomb. We don't follow someone that has passed off the scene. We follow someone and we love someone and we worship someone that is alive today, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave when he raised from the dead, and that was a surprise to his first disciples. So we can celebrate that surprise that Jesus is not there, and that changes everything. The next thing we have to celebrate is celebrate the victory of Easter. There's a great victory in this passage of Easter. You kind of have to follow the events of that weekend. Jesus had been betrayed with a kiss as he agonized in prayer in the garden. He was wrongly accused of crimes that he did not commit, and he did not defend himself, but he willfully gave his life for us. He was tortured. He was nailed to a cross. And then after he was dead, he was put in a borrowed tomb. And it seemed like he had been defeated. It seemed like the movement was over. It seemed like this band of followers and Jesus, their leader, was done. But that's not the end of the story. And I'm so glad our stories don't end on Friday as well, because sometimes we have moments in our life that it seems like it's just over for us. But it's through Jesus and the power of God working in our lives that we can have that Sunday morning too. And so Jesus was raised from the dead, and that is where the victory comes. In Luke 24, in the account that Luke gives of the resurrection, there is an indication of the angels that were there. Listen to Luke 24, verses 1 through 6. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the tomb rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee." You know, it's interesting to me the different accounts of the angel's appearance in the story of Easter. And to the guards, to the Roman guards that were guarding the tomb, they fell asleep as dead men. I mean, they passed away, these huge Roman guards, they just faint in the presence of these angels. But not so with the disciples that encountered them this morning. The disciples that encountered them, they speak to the disciples and they minister to them. And so this shows some of the victory that we have in Easter, is that God's messengers, his holy angels, are not someone to be feared, but messengers with the good news that Jesus is alive. And that shows that we are on the winning side, that we have victory in Jesus, and we can celebrate that victory. Listen, I'm kind of competitive by nature, and I like to be on the winning team. And I know many of you in this room like to be on the winning team. You like to to win, whether it's a game, whether it's a friendly rivalry, whether something's going on, you like to win. And listen, when you're a believer in Jesus, you are on the winning team. Your side wins. And so here on Easter morning, we celebrate the victory of Easter. Death, hell, and the grave have been defeated, and we follow the King, King Jesus. We can also celebrate the excitement of Easter. You can imagine in the disciples' lives, they had followed him. They had followed him all the way to the cross. They had scattered around when the cross happened, but now they're starting to regroup, and there's some excitement. Listen to verse 9 back in John 20. John 20, verse 9 says, they still did not understand from Scripture what had that Jesus had to raise from the dead. And so they were confused. They were wondering, they were going there to anoint a dead body, but Jesus is alive, and they're trying to figure out where Jesus is, what this means, what's going on. And there's this excitement, and their excitement, their confusion was replaced with excitement. Joy replaced the tragedy of Friday with the joy and victory of Sunday. And so there was excitement at Easter time. They were rushing all over the place. One of the things that we're going to do in the weeks to follow, starting next week that I mentioned earlier, is we're going to have a series of messages entitled T-minus 40. And T-minus 40 is going to be about those 40 days after the resurrection that Jesus spent with his disciples before liftoff. T-minus 40 days to liftoff, when Jesus was there in Acts chapter 1 and he was lifted up before the disciples' eyes and the clouds hid them from their view. We're going to look at those 40 days. And it turns out those 40 days are kind of neglected in church life. And so we're going to drill down deep on those 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension. And the truth is that the same thing that Jesus said to his disciples when he was comforting them and when he was leading them and getting them ready for, getting them ready to start the church, those same things that he said to the disciples apply to us today. And so we're going to look at themes like fear, like Thomas. He feared doubt. He feared. We're going to look at the very last week. It's going to culminate with what we have the opportunity to do to share the gospel from Acts 1:8. And so that's going to start next week. And I hope that you'll be here to, as we look at T-minus 40, 40 days until Jesus lifted off. You can tell I grew up in Florida and went over to the coast and T-minus whatever to lift off. And we're going to look at T-minus 40 as Jesus spent time with his disciples between the resurrection and the ascension. And so there was excitement at Easter time. They didn't understand it at first, but that fear was replaced with excitement. Tragedy turned to triumph when Jesus was not in the tomb. Number four, we can celebrate Jesus' closeness at Easter. John chapter 20, starting at verse 11, is Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. And so she's there at the tomb and she's weeping and she doesn't understand. She's got her basket of stuff, but she can't anoint the body that's not there. And she thinks that someone's taken the body, because dead bodies normally don't get up and go anywhere. And so if the body's not there, someone apparently has taken it, and this grieves her. And so Jesus is there with her, and he begins to speak to her, and she wrongly thinks that it's the gardener, that it's someone that's just tending the place, but it's Jesus. And so she has this conversation, and she understands that it's Jesus, and she falls at his feet, and she grabs onto him, and she worships her King that's been risen from the dead. Isn't that amazing that Jesus, after he was resurrected from the dead, appeared to this lady in the garden? He cares so deeply for his disciples, this one that he had ministered to, that he appears to her to comfort her. Listen, he cares about each one of us the same way. There are times that we need comforting. There are times that we desperately need the closeness of Jesus in our life. We go through hard times. We go through times that we don't understand why things are happening this way or that way. Some things are done because of actions that we've had in our life, but other things just are beyond our control, and we need the closeness of Jesus in our life. And sometimes that's all that we have. But listen, when all that we have is Jesus, we have all that we need. And so at Easter time, we can celebrate his closeness and we can see a picture of how Jesus cares for each one of us individually, because he cared for Mary Magdalene that same way. And in that same way, he cares for us. We can celebrate his closeness. He is as close as a prayer. His Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. He wants to have a close personal relationship with each one of us. And because of that, we can celebrate today the closeness of Jesus. We can also celebrate the life change from Easter. Number 5 on your message notes. We can celebrate, because of Easter, life change is possible. That we can be without Christ and we can understand Easter, the gospel of Jesus, and our lives can be changed. You know, that's what happened in the life of the disciples. Their lives were radically changed after the resurrection. They started the church. Many of them died for their faith in Christ, their ministry in the name of Christ, and that message that they had passed on to the church and generations of the church. And eventually, if you're a believer in Christ, that message came to you, that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he died and he was buried according to the Scripture, and that he rose again. Listen, what an amazing thing. And we can have our lives changed. And I know that Jesus has changed my life. A 19-year-old boy growing up in Central Florida, wondering what was going on, what the direction of my life would take. I knew that there was something missing from my life, and that missing part was Jesus. He changed my life, and I've never been the same. And many of you have that same testimony, that Jesus invaded the space of your life, and you've never been the same since. Listen, we can celebrate changed lives at Easter. Jesus changed the disciples' lives when he rose from the grave, and he changes our lives even today because of his power that is at work within us as we understand the gospel, that we're sinners without hope, but Jesus brings hope because of defeating death, hell, and the grave. What an amazing Savior that we serve. Number 6 on the outline there is that we can celebrate and worship our King. And we've done that some this morning. The music has been beautiful this morning as we've worshiped our King, but we also worship our King with our lifestyle. Listen to this verse from Matthew. It's there on your message notes. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshiped him. Listen, they saw Jesus and they knew that it was him and that he was worthy of their worship, and they fell clasping Jesus' feet. What a beautiful picture of worship. And at Easter, we can celebrate and worship our King. He's worthy of our honor. He's worthy of our worship, and he's worthy of our praise. And that's why we gather together on Sundays to praise and worship our King Jesus. And so we can celebrate and worship our King at Easter time. And what an amazing opportunity we have to do that. You know, we are a group of people that gather together to worship under the banner Jesus. And that's what holds us together. That's why we meet together. It's not religion that draws us together every Sunday. It's not anything but worshiping King Jesus as a community of believers. What a beautiful thing the church is. So we can celebrate and worship our King. And then the last, number 7 on your outline, it's not the last thing, but it's the last number on your outline, is we can celebrate the opportunity of Easter. And you can see this throughout the Easter story. They're hurried. The disciples are going back and forth. The women are telling the men, Peter and John, Jesus isn't there. They're rushing. He's not there. They go back and tell the other disciples, he's not there. And remember, Jesus after this, and we're going to look at this next week and following, Jesus appears to the disciples, but Thomas is not there. So-called doubting Thomas is not there. And then later, he spends time with Thomas and says, here are my hands, here are my feet. I'm the risen, I'm the real deal, I'm the risen Lord. And you see that, you can see all across the Easter story that there is an intensified effort to get the word out, Jesus is not dead, that he's risen from the grave. And listen, that same opportunity that they had to get the word out is the same thing that we have as the church, is to let our community, let our families, let everyone that will listen to us know that Jesus is alive and he's still changing lives. He's still forgiving sin. Listen, that's our opportunity in this community. And when we look at T-minus 40 starting next week, the very last week is going to be Acts 1:8, where Jesus says, and you will be my messengers, my disciples, and you will spread the word in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we're going to look at what does that mean for Monticello? What does that mean for Florida? What does that mean for our country and even to the world, and how we as a church take our place to take the message to the nations? And so how do we respond to the celebration? How do we respond to the truth of Easter? I want to mention three things quickly. The first one is that we open our mind to God's power. That we stand back and we say, God, you are powerful. You raised your son from the dead and you paid for our sins through the death of your son. And we open up our minds to God's power. And we stand in awe of our Heavenly Father loving us so much and displaying his power in such a way that we can have life, that we can be born again. We also need to open our heart to God's grace. Grace is when you get something that you don't deserve. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve, but grace is when you get something that you don't deserve. And listen, none of us deserve what we get in Easter. None of us deserve to belong to our God as a son and daughter of the King. None of us deserve that, but we get God's grace, and we receive what we cannot do for ourselves from Jesus, and we receive God's grace. And what a powerful thing is that. And some of you need to open your heart to God's grace this Easter. You need to open your mind to God's power, open your heart to God's grace, and lastly, you need to open your life to God's love. Did you know, as you are looking at Passion Week and everything that happened with Jesus being falsely accused, and with the mock trial, and Jesus being battered and bruised for us? You know, one of the things that I do frequently on Easter time is I watch the movie Passion of the Christ. And I watch as they beat Jesus and whip Jesus in that movie. It's such a graphic display of what happened that week. And I want to turn away from that. And I want to not look at that because it's so rough, and it's the injustice of it is just terrible. But listen, then a thought comes to my mind that God says to me, I did this for you. Listen, Easter and the crucifixion was not a mistake. It was God's plan from the beginning, and nothing was happening to Jesus that God didn't allow to happen, but the purpose of it was for him to display his great love for us. You know, it's all in God displaying his love for us. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was God's plan all along. And God had the victory through Christ, and we can participate in that victory when we trust Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Easter says to us that God loves us, that he loved us so much that he sent his only son into the world for us, and we celebrate it. And listen, I want to invite everyone in this room to something. Every week, we meet together. Every week, we are here, and you know what we do? We celebrate the victory that we have in Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We sing about Jesus. We rely on Jesus when we go through those hard times because God loves us, right? He demonstrated his love for us, and we can live as sons and daughters of the King who love us. And we get together as a family, not a perfect family, but we get together as a family and we spend time with each other and we brag on Jesus and what he's doing in our lives and what he's doing in our midst. And in a moment, we're going to have an opportunity. We're going to have an invitation. And if you would like to be a part of what God's doing in this place at this time, you can come forward and just say, hey, I want to join the church. If you have never been baptized before and you want more information about that, or you want to be baptized next week during our baptism celebration, you can come up and say, hey, I'm interested in being a part of that. but we're going to spend a few moments of time now in invitation, and I want to challenge you to press into what God is saying to you in this moment right now. Easter is a time to celebrate, but it's also a time for us to respond, because God's great love for us, He demonstrated His great love for us on the cross. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we are going to have a few moments of invitation, and I pray that God would give you courage to do what He's laying on your heart. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the celebration that we can be a part of because of Easter. And Father, we thank You for Your love for us that is on full display at Easter time. And Father, I pray in these moments that we commit to You, these ending moments of the service that we commit to You, we pray that You'd speak to our hearts and You'd give courage. So Father, we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.